Being Parshas, the week of Parshas Va'era, what I'd like to do is really focus primarily on some essential and fundamental questions which are raised with the beginning of the Parsha. Of course, the Parsha introduces us to the Makos, and with that comes everybody has their own interpretation. So I actually want to work backwards. I want to start with the later stuff. Related to the whatever makos that he has here, and then afterwards we'll go back to the items which are at the beginning. There are chumashim over here under the yellow books, or maybe to the left. One more shelf over. Okay, so we're going to begin, and you can pass this along. Whatever. So we'll make do. All right, so I'm going to tell you what I have because I have my original text. I'll tell you what I'm up to. And then you'll have to figure out where it is on the page which you have. Okay? What? Yeah, 18 pages. No. Okay. All right, no. We're going to start with Perek Zion, Pasuk Tes. Tes. Okay? You know what? I'm going to start three psukim before, because the comments which I gave you beforehand are just short. So it's on page three, not three pasukim beforehand, three comments beforehand, one pasuk before. So it's pasuk vav. Okay, vayas Moshe Aaron. So if you just look, we're on page 324 in the Chumash. So the section Perek Zayin begins with Moshe, with God telling Moshe rather that I'm giving you over to Paro, meaning giving you to Paro. I'm assigning you towards Paro, and Aaron is going to be your prophet, which is kind of interesting because earlier Moshe had been told that you're going to be a god to Aaron, and Aaron is going to be your Navi. And here, and things change, and God says to Moshe, you're going to be a god to Paro, and Aaron's going to be your prophet. So that's an interesting question in terms of what that means. A lot of things, a lot of questions can be raised with regard to the assignment of Moshe and the assignment of Aaron, what Moshe's job is, what Aaron's job is, how much does Aaron really speak on Moshe's behalf, how much does Moshe inform Aaron of what to say. The Aksavia Kabbalah, his MO here is that Aaron speaks every time that Moshe is supposed to speak. And that, take a look here in Pasuk Vav. Vayas Moshe v'Aaron. The Pasuk says that Moshe and Aaron do, kasher tzivah Hashem osam kein osu, as Hashem commanded them, so they did. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says, Vayas Moshe v'Aaron, b'chol dibur v'dibur, shem uzeh seder ha-mutzuveh alav. With every single time that God spoke, they followed this order. Vayas Moshe v'Aaron. Moshe v'daber mikodem, k'mosh shaliach me'elius barach, Moshe speaks first, v'yachak ha-chay Aaron mitargem. And then Aaron would translate it. Kenasu lo sivu lo garu. They didn't add anything, they didn't take away. So in other words, according to the Ksavia Kabbalah's view, because it says here that Moshe and Aaron did, any time God gave a command, Moshe told it to Aaron, and Aaron did it next.
Where does he get it from, though? Because it says Aaron second?
No, just because it says Vayas Moshe v'Aaron, that Moshe and Aaron do. So if Moshe and Aaron doing, that means that Aaron is involved. Every time that Moshe is commanded, Aaron is involved. If Aaron is Moshe's Navi, then Aaron, what is a Navi? A Navi is a spokesman.
Correct.
And that's the point.
The lesson of the Ksav HaKabbalah where it says, Mitzuva Allah, as if the speaking, they're one.
Okay, well, fine. No, but in other words, it's everything that's commanded to Moshe. Moshe is the Elohim. Moshe is the guy to whom everything's going. And Moshe is transmitting to Aaron, and Aaron is the one who is the spokesperson.
According to that, it switches.
Alright, Inachinami, we're going to get back to that. I just wanted to introduce you to this idea. We're going to get back to this idea of assignment in a little while. Okay, and the next one is just an inspirational message, which I thought, okay, Umoshe ben Shmonim Shana ve'Aaron ben Shalosh Shmonim Shana, and that Moshe is 80 and Aaron is 83. I just thought this is a good message for people who are in that age category. I'm looking around the room, I don't know. Well, with one exception. All right. So, that with all their age, they got up, and his darzu, they had zrizus to do God's. Kimi she, listen, Kimi she, They had already passed old age, and they're already in the stage of Gvura. Our years are 70. Extra strength. Extra strength Tylenol comes at age 80.
So we have something that's, to look forward to.
Something to look forward to. Amen. Okay.
Very nice.
All right, so now... Right, okay. So now, at this point with Ravi, we begin the moifsim, right? The different wonders and the different makos, however you want to categorize them and define them. And the first one is when Aaron... just look at pasuk tes. When Paro tells you, you guys give a mofes, prove who you are, right? A mofes means a wonder. So you are supposed to say to Aaron. Okay, so the first part, which is in pasuk tes, I'm not gonna go read inside with you. But the point that he makes is that a tanin and a nachash are two different things. How you define a nachash, how you define a tanin, that is an interesting question. But if you look at the second line, he explains that a nachash is something which is artsi, a land animal, whereas a tanin is a nachash hamemi, it is a water animal. So whether it's a water snake or something, a reptile which lives more in the water, which is, you know, the interpretation that I'm more familiar with is a crocodile, but that are definitely two different things. And so the idea that Rashi, for example, says tanin, and Rashi says one word nachash, Ksav HaKabbalah says that's not the case. The fact is they're different words, and therefore they're different animals. Whether it's a water snake versus a different kind of snake, versus a different kind of reptile, different conversation. But the point is that they're different. Okay, now. Aaron throws the thing to the ground, and the heart who, and so pasuk yalal says vayikra gam paro lachachamim v'lamechashifim. Okay, so the question is, why does the pasuk say gam vayikra gam paro? Paro also calls. Or just say vayikra paro lachachamim. Right, paro calls his guys, and he tells them what to do as well. Why do you have to say gam? I mean, once I say as well, that's also gam. Okay, so that's what gam means, that he also. So take a look. Vayikra gam paro. Milas gam ktas mukcha. It's questionable. Why is it there? Why is it there? Just say vayikra paro. Paro called. Vayira ki bir os paro is nagus Moshe basiyas pela. When paro sees what Moshe is doing and through bringing about this wonder. Shelo yasehu bi atmo aval yitzavele aron lasa. So that Moshe is not doing it himself. But he's commanding Aaron to do it. Now why? We know why he's doing that. Because Moshe has been told, you're going to be an Elohim to Aaron. And Aaron's going to be your Navi. So of course, that's what he's supposed to do. But Paro's getting the message. Chashav ki kavanas Moshe b'zeh, he said, l'spare l'shromein l'eneroim, that the point was to make Moshe look even greater, that Moshe can command, and there you go. And somebody else does. B'haro so l'pnehem she'ein lo tzorech l'shtadel b'atzmo l'chadesh nifl'os, to show them that he doesn't need l'chadesh nifl'os to show great wonders. V'adavar nekel kol kach b'enav ad shebetzivoy al shulcho gam kein apala na'aseh. And he says this: the matter became so clear that through commanding, that it's not just that Moshe could do it, because of course a god could do it, but that he could send his underling to do it, that the wonder comes out, it makes Moshe even greater, not to mention it makes his underling better. So Paro's saying, you're a god to your guy, I'm a god to my guy. There you go. And it works because Paro commands. So in other words, Paro is trying to stick with his MO, which was what happened in last week's Parsha. Moshe comes in and he says, Yudke Vavke sent me. And what's Paro say? Who's that guy? I don't care. So the message becomes an all-out war. In other words, that's Paro's way of declaring war. God says, you don't know who I am? All right, well, you will know. You will know. And that becomes the theme of what every Mako is all about. Is it about striking the people? Is it about striking Egypt and destroying Egypt? Or is it about Egypt learning, or Paro learning at the very least, and then Egypt learning as well, via the Umitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem, that they have to know who I am? Is that the goal of the Makos? And so it's an interesting perspective to consider, where Paro is saying, you're trying to prove that you're God. Well, I'm equal caliber. I'm equal caliber because I can command the same thing. Okay, now, one of the questions which comes up a lot is how Paro's heart reacts. So we're going to see different words describing Paro's heart in terms of reaction. One of them is Vayechazak Lev Paro. Right, look at Pasuk Gimel, for example. Vayechazak Lev Paro, or like Chizuk Lev. What is Chizuk? Chizuk means strength. Okay, and the other one is next pasuk Yidalit on top of page 326. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, kaved lev paro. Right, we have vayichbad eslibo. Right, so kaved usually means right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on how you define strength. Okay, in other words, is it that God makes paro strong and stubborn? Is that what chizuk lev means, or is it like you're saying chizuk? Like, is it
could have been when he saw that his Chartumim could emulate at the beginning at least what Moshe was doing, so he's
so encouraged by the fact. But does that translate it to stubbornness?
It could be.
Okay, so fine. That's
you see, I'm
so that's one way. Definition. That's one definition. Another definition of Chizuk, I heard this. Trying to remember. I don't remember if it was Rabbi Foreman, Rabbi David Foreman, in his stuff on these parshas, or if it was from Rabbi, I think maybe it was from Rabbi Leff, on a shir that he gave on YU Torah, where he was talking about how chizuk, one of them, I don't remember who it was, but he said that chizuk could mean to strengthen, because the whole idea is that Paro has to come to this idea that he can let the people go on his own. If God beats you to the point that you say uncle, and you say, all right, you guys can go because I'm defeated, then that's not coming from free will. That's coming from being defeated. Okay? But the point is that Paro, of his own free will, has to say, you know what? This is a choice which I'm making. So perhaps chizuk could mean that God is giving Paro strength to withstand the temptation to give in because he's beaten. You have to come to this of your free will. It's counterintuitive to what we might think that chizuk lev means, because we've been taught since we're little that God made Paro stubborn.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily true that that's what chizuk lev means. Okay, so anyway, so that's one way. And kaved lev Paro. So what's kaved lev Paro? Let's take a look. Kaved, a heaviness, refers to the heaviness of the that comes to the heart. I don't know that quote. Kavdal an chasi, kaved alai alel pshaa. Which most rabba perik tesamru kaved le paro libo shaparo koesu. That kaved could mean that is angry. Okay, so. The point that I'm just trying to introduce to you is that there are other ways to understand chizuk and kibud lev, and they all play into a different way of viewing what experience it was that Paro was going through, and how much God had a hand in defending it. Now, not defending it, but in determining which direction Paro is going and for what purpose. Okay, now. The next thing that I want to show you is something which I found to be something which is against the way that I've understood this. If you look at the very next pasuk thing, look at the very last line, okay, where he says Lo hutzrachti lichtov ze. Rak l'masher isi kan betargem Yonatan ben Uziel shekasav al matacha asher nepach l'nakash. Okay, so what does that mean? He says that if you look in the pasuk, let's take a look. What pasuk is that? Pasuk Tezvav. Okay, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Kaved leParo mein l'shalacham. Okay, so we already just saw the Tanin episode, which I'd be interesting to see who thinks that the stick that turned into a Tanin was Moshe's stick. Raise your hand if you think it was Moshe's stick. Okay? Who thinks the stick that turned into a tanin was Aaron's stick? Okay. So, just let's take a quick look. Okay? Back to Pasuk Yitzes. V'yamar toel Aharon, you're going to tell Aaron, now is this a quote? Kach es matacha v'ashleich lefnei paro yilsanin. Are you telling Aaron, quote, take your staff and throw it in front of paro, it should become a tanin? Or v'yamar toel Aaron, you're going to tell Aaron, kach es matacha, that he should take your stick, Moshe, v'ashleich lefnei paro yilsanin, and he should throw it in front of paro, and it should become... Okay, in other words, it could be read either way, all right? So, fine. We'll leave that for what it is. But now let's take a look in Pasuk Yudal. Pasuk Tes Vav. God says to Moshe, Lecha paro baboke, inetzeh mayim, tzatav lekrasal tzfasi, v'hamateh asher nepach lo nechash tikach v'yadech. Take the staff which turned to a nechash. Now, is there any question or doubt as to which staff turned into a nechash?
Which one?
A nechash. God is telling Moshe, you're going to go to paro at the water. Take this mate that turned into a nachash. Okay, whichever staff it was in front of paro that turned into a tanin, that's a tanin. Okay, v'amateh nepach l'nachash, whose staff is that?
That's
Moshe. Does anybody disagree?
No.
Moshe is being told, v'amateh nepach l'nachash, the mate that turned into a nachash, you have to take in your hand. Is that clear?
Clear.
You're looking like you disagree.
No.
Okay, all right, good. V'amar toilav, and you're going to say to him, quotation mark, Hashem Elokei Avriim Shlachani Alecha Leimor, the Hashem God of the Hebrews sent me to you saying, Shalach Asami V'yadidim HaMibor, V'inei Lo Shema'at Adko, send my people, you haven't listened, Komar Hashem Bezos Teda, again, this is still what Moshe is supposed to tell
Paro.
Paro.
I mean Paro, yeah.
Okay? Now, if you're going to say that Aaron's supposed to be saying it exactly, but it doesn't say, Kach Es Matacha and give it to Aaron, right, it says, take your staff in your hand. Okay, again, this is what you, Moshe, are supposed to be telling Paro. Now, if your MO is that everything that Moshe is supposed to be telling Paro, Aaron's really going to be saying to Paro, then, all right, end of discussion. But if it's that God is telling Moshe what to say, and Moshe is supposed to say this, then it's a different conversation. Again, this is all part of the quote. Bezos teda ki ani Hashem. With this, you will know that I am God. I'm in the middle of Pasuk Yitzayin. Hinei enochi makeb b'mateh asher b'yadi ala mayim asher b'yor v'nefchu l'adam. Behold, I'm going to be striking with the staff that is in my hand on the water that is in the river, and it's going to turn into blood. V'hadaga asher b'yor tamuz. The fish in the river is going to die. Va'ashi or the river is going to become disgusting. V'nilu Mitzrayim u'shtos mayim ayor, and Egypt's not going to be able to drink water from the river. Next pasuk. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. I'm now at the little break. Pasuk Yitzes. Hashem says to Moshe, Emor al Aharon. Tell Aharon. Kach matacha. So again, it's the same thing. Is it that Aaron, you're taking your staff, meaning Aaron's staff, or is it that you're going to be telling Aaron to take your staff, Moshe, unatei yadcha? You know, so what, are you telling Aaron to take Moshe's hand and stretch Moshe's hand? So now you see my problem here? Uh-huh. I don't see how Moshe could be telling Aaron to take Moshe's staff.
Yeah.
It seems pretty clear to me that he's telling Aaron to take Aaron's staff. And Aaron, you stretch your hand. Mei Mitzrayim is different than the Yor. Hayor is Hayor, the Yor. And Mei Mitzrayim is other waters. Al Narosam, Al Yoraham, Al Agmeham, Al Kol Mikveh Mehem, Yudam, everything else. So Moshe deals with Yor, and Aaron deals with everything else, including Vayadam Achlaris Mitzrayim, Uvayitzim Uvavanim, that there's going to be blood everywhere, including in the trees and in the stones. And then it says, Vayasuchein Moshe V'Aaron, that Moshe and Aaron do what they're supposed to do, which is two separate shlichus, two separate messengings, whatever that word is. Kasher Siva Hashem, as Moshe commanded. Vayarem b'mateh, vayachas amayim asher b'yor le'nei paro le'nei avadav. Who's that? According to the text. It's Moshe. Moshe picks up his stick and he strikes the water that is in the river, by Yor, in front of our paro and everybody. Vayachu kol amayim asher b'yor le'dam, and everything turned into blood in the river. That's exactly the language from Pasuk Yitzes, right?
Right.
Look, Chaf Aleph, compare the first part of Chaf Aleph to Pasuk Yirches, it's the exact same thing. V'hadagaya sheba yor tamuz v'asha yor, v'hadagaya sheba yor mesa v'y v'asha yor. V'nilu mitzrayim l'shtos mayim v'ayor, v'lo yochlu mitzrayim l'shtos mayim v'ayor. And that's exactly from the quote that Moshe was supposed to be saying. It's the exact same thing. Now, what's the end of Pasuk of Aleph? V'yihi Adam. Sorry, I'm turning the page. B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. And the blood is in all of Egypt. And where was that from? The end of Pasuk Yutes. V'hayadam, after, in other words, after the instruction to Aaron. V'hayadam b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. So v'hayadam, so it would seem to me that the last part of Pasuk Chaf Aleph is the fulfillment of Aaron. Whereas everything in Pasuk Chaf and Chaf Aleph up until the Esnachta is Moshe. That's clear. It's clear, despite what Rashi says.
Is there definitely one staff, one matzah, or could there be two?
Well, that's the point that I'm making, that Moshe has his, and Aaron has his. Okay, that's the way, I mean, ever since that I broke out of my, Rashi-only box, which is somewhere in my yeshiva days, I studied in Gush. So that's what they teach you, they say, think out of the box. So ever since I broke out of the box, that's the way I've always seen this. Okay. And honestly, I'm not convinced otherwise. I'm not convinced that it's all Moshe. So he says here, so one thing that he says is that it's all Aaron. Okay? That's the first part in Ne'epach L'Nachash. He says that it's all Aaron. Okay? And then the part what he says here, like I said before, the last line, he says, the only reason why I'm writing all this is because Lo Tzrach Li L'Klov Zerach L'Mashar Isi Kam B'Tom Targum Yonatam Nazir Shekasab Al Matcha Shenapach Lanachash Uchutro De Aaron. He says that what Moshe is told that your staff that was turned into a nachash, that's Aaron's staff. Behu Tamua. He says that's ridiculous. Okay. Now, but what's the point? I guess the Targum Yonatam Nazir is suggesting that when Moshe came to Egypt after having been at the burning bush, he comes in and he tells Aaron everything, and Aaron does the signs. Then maybe Aaron takes his own staff, and his own staff turns into a nachash. But he still thinks that that's ridiculous. It has to be Moshe's staff. And his whole the Aksav HaKabbalah's approach with all this stuff, and I was shocked every single time because he so doesn't think this way, which is why I was shocked by the way that he's going about this. He so doesn't hang his hat. On what, I mean, I guess he sometimes does hang his hat on what Chazal say. But he'll often say, I know what they say, but I'm looking at the text and it just doesn't say that. And here he doesn't do that. He says, look, the idea that the staff that turned into a nachash is Aaron's staff is difficult. I hear what he's saying. Like, that's certainly shver. I don't follow that. But take a look what he says on Yitzayin. On Yitzayin. Okay, Anochi Makeh, Ube Emes Lohi Kam Moshe Rag Aaron. Where am I now? In your package?
Top page six.
Okay, everybody with me? Top of page six. Anochi Makeh. He says, and the truth is that Moshe didn't strike it. It was Aaron. Moshe Kasev Rashi, like Rashi says. L'chein Ein Lefareish Maka LePulatz Mi Kiyum Pulam Misaveves. That when the phrase Maka means I'm going to be striking, it doesn't mean me personally, it means that it's going to happen. But tamo, and what it means is, anochi ayeh goreim, umusavev al yidei acher esaka, that I'm going to be the cause, and through somebody else, the striking is going to take place. V'rabi Yitzchak Abar Barnel amar, ki ayeor huka al yidei Moshe atzmo. And the Abar Barnel says that Moshe is the guy who actually struck the Yeor, the river, whereas Aaron struck everything else. Okay, I read the Abar Barnel a long time ago, and that's and I was so thoroughly convinced, and that's what I shared with you. That's the Abar Barnel's approach. And he says, "Vizemis nagei l'das Rabbi Hussein." He says the Abar Barnel goes against the rabbis because everybody says that Moshe did not strike the river because Moshe had to show Moshe had to show us our karsato. Okay, that's a nice interpretation, but what I'm saying is, and this is why I'm shocked by the Aksav HaKabbalah. Because he's looking at the Abar Barnel, and he often says, Abar Barnel, good gazak. And here he's saying, Abar Barnel, how can you say such a thing? The rabbi said differently. It's very clear how the Abar Barnel could say otherwise. Because just because the rabbi said it doesn't mean that that's what the pshat says. You're twisting the words in such a way in order to get this point across. And the fact that the Aksavia Kabbalah goes with everybody else and goes against the Rabbanel, to me, is just shocking. Because he just seems to me to be such an independent thinker, and here he's hanging his hat on that. Okay, so that's that was just one thing. And by the way, he's going to do it again in Pasuk Chaf, and we're gonna see this. Now, did I give you Pasuk Yitess?
Yes,
you
gave it
to
us. Yes.
Okay, so take a look at Pasuk Yitess. See, he makes it. I'm skipping Yitess for now. Okay, you'll have to get back to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, it's about how the fish might survive in blood. I'm not going to get into it now. Meimei Mitzrayim. It says, Yesh hefresh ben meimei uvein mei. What's the difference between, you know, the word meimei, which means waters, and mei, which means waters? So I'm just going to give you the beginning where he explains the distinction. Lashon meimei nizkar alamayim haru'uyim l'shtos. Meimei refers to waters which can be drink. You could drink. Okay, if you look on the next line, where towards the end, could be, I'm not sure where it is in your line, because my pagination might be a little different. V'lashon mei, nizkar al she'enem ru'uyim l'shtos. And he gives examples. Mei means waters that you can't drink. Like mei mabul, mei noach, mei hayom. Okay, mei yamsuf, waters that you can't drink. So, well, mei mariva. Okay, all right, anyway. Now, are there exceptions to that? Yes, there are exceptions to that, but that is just a base view which is shown here. Now, let's go back. Pasuk Chaf, let's go on to the next one. Again, this is shocking, but once you see what he said in Pasuk Tazayin, I'm sorry, Pasuk Yitzayin, it's not so shocking. Okay? Moshe v'Aaron, remember we saw? Pasuk Chaf, v'yasu kein Moshe v'Aaron, the Moshe and Aaron did what they were commanded. Moshe saw samitzu v'alav, l'lechas l'paro kodam ha'make las rozbo. He says that Moshe did what he was commanded to go to Paro before the Makkah and to warn him. But Aaron asa samatzuva alav, and Aaron did what he was commanded to do, lakos es hayor im shara naharos, to strike the yor with all of the other waterways. But the osha yor hua ikar be'eretz Yitzrayim neged shara naharos, and since the yor, the Nile, is the main waterway, l'chein lo iskir rak v'yachas amayim asher b'yor, so it only says that he struck the water which is in the Yor. Ube emes hu kolel gam kol she'ara ne'aros. But the truth is that Aaron got every other waterway as well. V'hu mashipal Aaron. V'Rabbi Yitzchak of Abernel, remember him? That's the guy I like. Okay, he says, Mistayeb imikrozek ki Moshe po'al v'yasa akas ha'sayor. He said that Moshe did the striking of the river. V'ein zek kolom. But he says, no. Gam l'dvarav yechsar mikra oda she'aron asa ha'samitzu ve'alav. He says, but it's not clear that Aaron did. I'm sorry, it's very clear. Vayasu chein Moshe v'Aaron. The Moshe and Aaron did it. And what did Aaron have to do? He had to cause the end of Pasuk of Aleph. Vayi Adam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. So I have a lot of trouble with this, and I'm just being honest with you, because I don't think that he is open, for whatever reason, to what the Abarbanel says, which to me does follow, actually, what the Chumash says. And therefore, the view which he should, which I think that he should espouse, based on the way that he has demonstrated his thought processes up until now. Okay, I do want to show you just two more things. And then we'll move back to the beginning. Okay, did I give you Pasuk Ches?
Yes.
Okay. So this is very simple. I don't have to tell it to you inside. But if you look at Pasuk Ches, let's go back. Go back to the Chumash. Turn to page 330. Okay. Yeah, next parak. We're skipping to the plague of frogs. Okay, plague of frogs. So let's see. Okay. We just need to look in the psukim starting with Dalit. So look, go back to 328, the bottom, last pasuk on page 328. So the frogs are everywhere. Okay, and Vayikra Paro Moshe ul Aaron. Paro calls Moshe and Aaron. Vayomer, and he says, Hatiru el Hashem v'yaserat sfardim. I think it was the Kli Yakar who talked about this phrase, Hatiru. Ayin Tuf Reish comes from a kind of farming implement which turns over the soil. So Hatiru is like overturned. It's an interesting phrase. Anyway, Hatiru el Hashem v'yaserat sfardim, remove the frogs from me and my people. V'ashalcha sam yizbichu l'Hashem. Paro gives in, right? He says, I'll let you guys go. He's ready to let you go. When do you want me to do this atara, that kind of prayer? L'avadech l'amcha l'hachris hatzfar de'im. L'hachris. What does l'hachris mean? So what's going to happen to the frogs, according to that definition?
They will lean.
What?
They will lean.
When does the word kares mean leave?
He's dead.
Dead.
Hey, it seems that Moshe is saying they're going to die.
Yeah.
Rak by or tisha arna, they'll only be remaining in the or. Vayomer l'machar, okay, Paro says tomorrow, and Moshe says, k'dvarcha, it's going to happen, l'man tedaki en kashem l'kem, so that you will know. Next pasuk, v'saru at sefardim. Now, what's v'saru, Rabbi Kasavsky? Saru means they're going to go away. Ah, wow, it just said l'hakris. So what's v'saru? What did Paro ask for? Paro said, v'haser me'alai, remove it. Why does Moshe throw in this hakris idea?
He doesn't want Paro to think they're going to eat.
Okay. Look what happens in pasuk tes.
Well, one is in the land and...
Look what happens in pasuk tes. Vayas Hashem kidvar Moshe, vayamusu et sfardim. Okay? Then they die. Vayitzbru asam chamarim chamarim. They put them into all these piles and the place comes disgusting. But which one is it?
Yeah.
Removal or death? Death to the frogs. So, take a look. Oh, I'm sorry. Next pasuk. I'm sorry. What's the line? Where's Al Devar? Where's the Chetz, right? Al Devar at Sfardim. Vayitzei Moshe ve'arom im paro vayitzak Moshe l'Hashem. Al Devar at Sfardim. That's the question. Al Devar at Sfardim. What Al Devar at Sfardim? Al Sfardim. What do you mean Al Devar at Sfardim? Okay. Yitzchak Abar Benam was kashet Miloshen Zayir Shaya Moshe Tzoek Al Makas at Sfardim Leimor Madua Kacha Asis L'Paro. It sounds like what Moshe is doing is he's saying, why'd you do this to Paro? And that's not a nice way to talk based on what's going on here. Barbanel, he has his answer. He says, if you're going to translate the word al devar, right, look at how our scroll translates it. That Moshe goes to pray on the matter, al devar, al isik, on the matter. What is my misas magefa? On the death of the plague, or death of a plague. I mean, look at the letters. What is devar? It's the same as dever. What's dever? Dever is a plague, right? Okay. He says kenem al kamam b'misas abehemos dever kaved ma'od. Right. There's a heavy plague. Shamu b'sheish nekudos. What's sheish nekudos? Six dots. Dever. Right? Wow. Two segols. Okay? Who shem nifrad? That's a dever. And what's on the dever, Billy? What's the trump on dever? Ah, yeah, come on, you should know this. Dever kaved me'od. It's a tibcha. Tibcha is what kind of ta'am? A ta'am maf sik. It's a pause. So dever, that's one thing. Dever, a plague, which is kaved me'od, very heavy. And what's this called? Al devar at tzvar de'im. When you change it, it's like the difference between Midbar, right? Midbar, no, Midbar, a wilderness, and Midbar Sinai, right? Midbar, right? Then it becomes an adjective. The wilderness of Sinai as opposed to the wilderness. So, Devar at Sfardei, what's the word? Devar at Sfardeim is different than a Dever. The Kana Dalid Shvais Hu Anismach. It's an adjective. Right? It's an adjective because it has a shva in it. Shva, what's a shva?
Two dots.
Under the dalet. Two dots. Gershon, you with me? Two dots under the dalet. Okay? Who wants to Ukvar Matsanu Gam Shemos Abayim, Shesh Nikudos. In a bunch of words that are going to be coming next, you're going to find two Shesh Nikudos, six dots. Six dots means eh. Mishuna Nifer Ben Esmach. Chadar Mishka. I don't know why he gives Chad. Chadar mishkavecha. I don't know. It's not. It should be cheder. Shigar alafecha. These are not. I don't know what you mean. Six dots. These are not six dots. These are different. These are adjectives. Chadar mishkavecha. The room where you sleep. Shigar alafecha. B'sefer devarim kampamim. Havel havalim. As opposed to hevel. Right. These words should be a cheder, a sheger, havel avalim, right? Geber b'sheish nikudos b'nifrad. When you have geber with six with sheish nikudos, and even put the sheish nikudos, right? That's one thing. Uven nismach im gvar tamim tamam. Okay, there's a difference between when you have the six nikudos versus if you don't. V'chein v'yerek. I don't know that quote. It's in Yeshaya. Yerek Desha. Anyway, Kacha Kan Davar Hu Nismach Al Tzvardeim Devar Shel Al Tzvardeim. It should be the Dever. It's rather the Dever Shel Al Tzvardeim. The plague of the prey. Vayisat Sakas Moshe Tfilaso Al Misas Al Tzvardeim. What Moshe is praying for is the death of the Tzvardeim. Kvar Amru Rabosenu Midrash Al Hinli No Gevis Gvul Chabat Tzvardeim Shaya Dever Mashmei Shuba Gam Bemakazo. That when he says, I'm going to be destroying your borders with the Tzfardim, it's because this Dever, this plague, was coming all over the place. And the Pasuk says that the land became disgusting. That what's going to happen as a result is that the air is going to become polluted and it's going to cause a further plague. Well, Zet Tafas Moshe B'lushano Lomar L'Faro L'Achris HaTzfardim V'Lomar L'Hasir. Moshe says, I'm going to kill the frogs, I'm not going to remove them. Shoye mashma uto, sheyelchu v'yisrachku minad medina, kemo shaya ba'arov, because what he was implying was that they're going to go, and they're going to go far and wide, or they're going to go far away from the medina, when they're, like the arov leaves. Aval lashan achrasam ashama uso ashchasa. The language of kares means that they're going to die. Now I don't. The only thing I don't understand in this is what he means when he says that the air is going to become disgusting and polluted that can cause an additional plague. But the point that he's making is that Paro is asking for saruat tzfardim, get rid of them. And Moshe is saying, no, I'm gonna give you guys a mess to clean up because that's an additional plague on you. Because you guys gave the Jews so much to mess, so much of a mess to clean up, and that's the difference in the language that between the way Paro presents it and the way Moshe presents it. Okay. Listen, I mean, it's just eye opening when you actually pay attention to the psukim and what that is. Okay, the last thing I wanted to show you now, I was going to do Yudal. I don't have time though, but I want to focus on Tovas Mitzrayim, and those who are here. In Parshas Vayigash, we'll remember what Tovas Mitzrayim means. So go to Pasuk Chaf Beis. Okay? Right. What is Tovas Mitzrayim? We said Tovas. So Tovas Mitzrayim. So you think that Tovas Mitzrayim means disgusting. But when Moshe, when Yosef rather, tells his brothers that you're going to tell Paro that you are Anshei Mikneh, he says, why? Ki Tovas Mitzrayim kol Mikneh Tzon. Because the people who watch over animals is Tovas Mitzrayim. So, if your thinking has been influenced by Rashi, I spoke very nicely there. Okay, if your thinking has been influenced by Rashi, then you think that anybody who takes care of sheep is disgusting to Egypt. But the Ksavah Kabbalah made the argument that it's the opposite. These are the gods of the Egyptians. Anybody who takes care of them that's like a good position. So he says Tovas Mitzrayim is a good thing. Tovas Mitzrayim is good. And if you want to say that Toeva is something which should be separated, but in Egypt language, Tovas Mitzrayim is something which is raised on a pedestal as opposed to something which is in the dirt and disgusting. Take a look at the last three lines here. Okay, he references what he said earlier. Look after the Ayin Shin in Pasuk Chaf Beis in the Ksav HaKabbalah.
Yeah.
Ukvar Matsanu Shemos. Sometimes we have words which have opposite meanings, folks. Rav Chesed. What's Rav Chesed? Abundant kindness, right? L'sheva. Ki Chesed hu. You know that phrase, Chesed hu? Chesed hu is in the Toevos. Okay, it's when it's an illicit relationship. If I'm not mistaken, if it's when a man sleeps with his sister. Chesed hu. Chesed. What kind of Chesed? No, it's the opposite. Okay, words can have opposite meanings. L'kaleis esnan l'shevach, lo'egu l'kaleis l'sviosena l'gnai. One type of l'kaleis, right, like we say, in Shekein Chavas kol yitzurim l'vaneh ha'ashem l'keinu, right, l'hodos l'alel shebech l'fa'er l'alel l'kaleis. That's a prayer. That's a good. The other kind of kaleis here is gnai. And look, let's just skip to the last line. Kacha toeva b'lashon ivri ulgnai. Toeva in the Hebrew language is bad. B'lashon mitzri ulishavach. Okay, in Egyptian, toeva is a good thing. Do you know that in some cultures, if you go like this, it's an insult? I'm waving my hand, with my hand spread, with my fingers spread. I read that in some kid magazine, okay? But I can't imagine they're going to figure, it depends. I don't know what it means. But in some other cultures, this is an insult. I remember when we went out to Russia, and I went on the program YUSSR. It's a summer camp for Jewish Russian kids, in Belarus. So they told us, there's one song you're not allowed to sing. Yibane, 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 mikdash. Why? Because in Russian, a yibane is a prostitute. So if we start going, yibane, like the kids are like, so, okay, yibane, it's a beautiful thing. Beis HaMikdash should be built. In Belarus, don't say it. Okay. Okay. Right, Hamas. Well, I don't know, Hamas. Hamas is bad and bad, no? When's Hamas good?
Hamas in their modern language is a good name.
Oh, in their language, right, okay. Yeah, right, on their side, exactly. And Hamas HaMelech Shechacha. Okay, that's a really bad pun, and it actually makes no sense at all. Okay, we move on. Okay, we're going to go back to the beginning. Got to go back to the beginning. Oh, man, I took 40 minutes on the stuff I didn't want to focus on. Okay, I apologize.
Have you talked about why it says lech is every time it says bol ba'o and there's one there?
No, I'm not getting into that at all. He doesn't talk about it at all. Okay. All right. Let's go back to the very beginning. Okay, so there are two. The fundamental thing that I wanted to focus on was this: the idea of how it's two things. Number one, how God relates to Moshe ubnei Yisrael, and on the other hand, how God is going to relate to Egypt. Okay, I did mention at the outset that there is this that when Paro says "Who is Hashem?" it's a declaration of war, in a sense. But there's another thing which we need to recognize, and this is one of the biggest difficulties which we have, and I actually mentioned this on Shabbos in the Chumash class, I think, or maybe in my sermon, I think, I mentioned it off the cuff. But that is the opening, the second pasuk. Okay, the first pasuk says, on page 318, God says to Moshe, I am Hashem, right? But, and I'm not getting into Elokim and Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's a different conversation. God says, I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with El Shaddai and not Yud Kei Vav Kei. Or that I didn't make myself known to them with Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's the problem?
He did.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a look at the Ksav HaKabbalah. Okay. Okay, so first of all, on Be'el Shaddai, he says the first thing. Hamachuvam b'shem Shaddai hu. What's implied with the name Shaddai is Hamaspiku mechalkel kol, one who provides for all. Okay, and he and the example that he gives is on the third line. V'hu me'inyan Shaddaiim nechono mespikim mazon avlad. Right, breasts are referred to as Shaddaiim, and what does Shaddaiim do? They provide for the child. Okay, so that's where the name. That's where this name of God comes from. Okay, now there is another view, of course, that it's the one who says die, but that implies that shin is a prefix and not part of the shoresh. Whereas if you say that, no, this is a word, right, Shaddai, I mean, that's what it means. It means a source of sustenance. As opposed to, right, next, continue after the parenthesis, v'amachuvan b'shem avaya b'rechu. Right, and then what's implied from the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shayikar Bo Akriya Adonai, Hu Adon Hakol. Right, Yud Kei Vav Kei means I'm the master overall. Okay, now you have to skip, and I'm sorry that I didn't highlight. Normally, I try to put these things in bold. Skip about four or five lines to the word Omnam. Everybody find it? It's after a comma. Chen Amor Va'ira Alehem Ba'El Shaddai Omnam. Lo nahag im ha'avos ba'asiyas hanisim ve'aniflaos asher al yado or al yadam yishtanu atolados hativios anu anahugim ba'olam. He says, no matter what he did with the Avos, he certainly used the name Yudkei Vavkei. But what he did not do with them is he did not conduct himself making miracles and amazing wonders that are going to change the natural order of the world. That's what it means, Ushmi Hashem, lo nodati lehem. Not that I didn't let it known to them. Lo nodati means I didn't become known through them using that name of Yudkei Vavkei. I didn't display my mastery over the world through the Avos using the name Yudkei Vavkei. That was not what I did. What did I do? I provided for them. I allowed them to survive. And I was there to protect them. That's what El Shaddai means. Yudkei Vavkei, on a personal level, they knew that name. Of course they knew that name. And he's going to bring proofs. Let's see. Skip now to Vyoter Nira Li. Okay? Should be somewhere at the beginning of the line? Vyoter Nira Li? She'en lefar kipshuto, she'lo noda la'avos shem havaya brichu. There's no way you can say that he didn't let that name known. The psukim tell us the opposite. Kakasubi Avram. Vayera elav Hashem. Hashem means Yudkei Vavkei. Be'el name Amre. Ubris be'en abasari. Vayomer elav Ani Hashem. Asher says, I mean, to suggest that that name doesn't appear to the Avos is baloney. Me'or kastim. Uvi Yitzchak. Vayera Hashem elav. Gur ba'aretz hazos. V'chem Yaakov. Vayomer elav Ani Hashem. I am Yudkei Vavkei. Elohe Avram Avicha. They knew it. Imkain, they knew that name. Imkain, Ma'amar Khan, Ushmi Hashem on Adat, Lem Lachain, Amar, I don't know who Yud Ayin is. Yud Bey Zayin is Yonatan Ben Uziel, but that is not what this is. Amar Reshid Alf Akeda, Nachon Bazek, Yimilas, Lahem, Eino Musa, this is to me, here's your mind blowing Kiddush, okay? Milas Lahem, Eino Musa, Vala Avos, Rakal Yisrael. Go back to the Pasuk for a second. Ushmi va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov el Shaddai. Pause. Esnachta. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. The name Yudkei Vavkei is not become known to lahem. Who's to them? Not the Avos. To Bnei Yisrael. That's his Kiddush.
Wow.
Okay, there's mind blowing for you. Ve'akavanah shekvar nira el Avos. I just skipped the parentheses. V'shekvar nira la'avos v'iz yod alihem lo dashmo amorel matziu solavad. He didn't just tell them the name that is his essence. Aval shekvar yisigum inyan Torah v'atshiyedu ki hu El Shaddai. So they not only knew what Yudkei Vavkei is, but they also knew that he was El Shaddai. Sho ikari mishmos atoharim midarach atoharim sheyidiyo davar nosav amal sheyidiyo shem ha'etzem. Okay, so in other words, the point is that they had to understand more about God's essence, and the Avos did that. Skip a few lines to Ulefize. Ulefize. Yeah. Can anybody tell me where it is?
Ulefize?
No, it's nine lines from the bottom. Ulefize Shmi Hashem lo nodati lehem. Okay? V'yedatem ki ani Hashem anitzkirim kan heim kishar domim lehem shenemar v'yedu'u mitzrayim ki ani Hashem l'mantedak ki ani Hashem. Okay, in other words, there's going to be a discovery of Yudkei Vavkei here that everybody needs to understand. Actually, brilliant. Go, no, I'm sorry, not here. It is going to be, look at Pasuk Tes, page 320. Vayidaber Moshe Kain. No, it's the last Pasuk of Yud Gimel. Okay, but fine. It's Pasuk Yud Gimel. But Vayidaber Moshe Kain up in Israel, Voloshim Moshe, Moshe Mikotsu Rachmai Vadakashat. So Moshe tells all of this to Bnei Israel. They don't listen. Then Moshe is told to go speak to Paro. And he says, Hey Bnei Israel, Voloshim Moshe, Vayichi Shmeni Paro. Bnei Israel didn't listen to me. How is Paro going to listen to me? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Be'el Aaron. Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron. Vayitzaveim El Bnei Israel. Ve'el Paro. What's right? Moshe has a dual job here. Okay, and I know we discussed this last year, that what's Moshe's objection? He says, Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me. How's Paro going to listen to me? In other words, Bnei Yisrael have a major theological challenge. They don't know who Yudkei Vavkei is. They don't know. I'm coming, Moshe. I'm coming, and I'm saying, "Gidkevok, send me everybody. I'm going to take you out." And what about Israel? Lo shemu elam mikotzer ruchak. Go to heck with your Yudkevavke. It doesn't help us at all. We're enslaved. So Moshe comes back to Paro, or Moshe comes back to God and says, I got to go to talk to Paro. I don't even have these people on my side. So what does God say to Moshe? Vayitzavein el b'nei Yisrael. Yeah, Paro, all the time. Moshe, you have a much bigger job than you thought. You have to convince b'nei Yisrael that you're the real deal, that I'm Yudkevavke, and that I am the God of their salvation. And you have to teach Paro that I'm Yudkevavke, the guy who's going to be kicking his tuchus. I mean, not that that's really what Paro needs to learn. Paro needs to understand who Yudkevavke is. That he's Adon HaKol, that he's the master of the world. And when Paro understands that, when Paro recognizes that, then, Moshe, your job is accomplished, because Paro is going to say, Hashem HaTzadik, V'anochi V'ami HaRasha'im, God is righteous, I'm bad, my people are bad, you can go. And so Lahotzias b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yitzrayim is both. Right, one of the biggest challenges that Moshe is going to have in the wilderness is what b'nei Yisrael keep telling Moshe. We want to go back to Egypt. So Moshe has to continue to convince them and convince them and convince them. What? They saw Kriyas Yamsuf. Well, that's not good enough. Yeah, but life was good back there. We don't like mun. Okay, you got your job cut out for you forever. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu, because he has to be able to withstand that kind of pressure that's coming from these people who just don't get it. Okay, so that's the first point. That's the first point that he's making here about what Yudke Vavke is and what it means. Okay, I don't have the time to continue with this. I'm leaving you with the rest of this stuff. But again, the point which he doubles down on is that I think I gave you, are there three dots in there somewhere? That lead to v'chein lo nodati lehem.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
Lo nodati lehem. Yeah, so look at that line. Lo nodati lehem. Lo ayu avo siba lizvados shmi ba'olam. Okay, v'tam u'shmi Hashem lo nodati lehem. Adei avos lo nodati shmi Hashem. He says that the avos were not, they were given the opportunity to teach, but their influence was only so much because they had a small audience. They had neighbors, fine. But what's been Israel? They're a nation of millions. And what's Moshe? Right, and what's Moshe? He's a mouthpiece dealing with one of the most powerful kings in the world at that time. So there's an opportunity here which the Avos never had. And that is the idea of Ushmi Hashem Lo Nodati Lehem. They just didn't have the opportunity in the same way that Moshe had. He needed time. Avram started an idea, monotheism. He gave it over to Yitzchak. All right, still tiny nation, it's nothing. Give it over to Yitzchak. All right, you have 70 people. You come down to Egypt. By the time Moshe's around on the scene,
zillions.
I mean, not zillions, but millions. Okay, it's a different world. It's a different world. And so therefore, and the world is watching. I mean, how much do we talk about the Kriyas Yamsuf that the whole world knew about it, whatever that means. Okay, right. So that's the first idea that I wanted to emphasize.
But today, I mean, the United Nations,
more than half, 90%. Okay, right. So that's. I once heard a joke about that. There's an idea that Mashiach can't come until the whole world hates the Jewish people. So you know, as long as the United States keeps up being supportive of Israel, we have a problem, I guess. But just kidding. But the idea. So how is the whole world going to hear about the Jewish people? Who, some people in the world never seen a Jew. They don't know what a Jew is. So Baruch Hashem, in God's wisdom, He allowed the United Nations to be created. There you go. Okay. All right. Now let's go to Pasuk Zayin. Okay, and this is how we're going to conclude today. Pasuk Zayin.
First one, yeah.
No, it's the next parak, I think. No. No, just kidding. It's this pasuk.
Yeah, it's page 318. Yeah,
Vidatem Kini Hashem. Okay, that's the one. Okay. Lekachti Eschem Livyos Lechem LeElohim. Vidatem Kini Hashem Eloichem. Amotzi Eschem Itachas Zivlos Mitzrayim. Okay, so Vidatem Kini Hashem. So that's the point that I highlighted before. That it's not just Paro that needs to learn this. Vidatem Bnei Yisrael also need to learn this. Now, hopefully, Bnei Yisrael can learn this without having Makos pounded into them. Okay? But Bnei Yisrael need to learn this, and Paro needs to learn it. So let's take a look. Okay, did I start with the Im Haya HaMukhuvan
B'zeh?
Yes. Okay, yes. So I cut out a bunch of stuff. All right, so we're going to start there. I'm going to take this one to the end of what I gave you, and we'll do more Rasha, and that'll be the end of it. Okay? That'll be the end of our class today. V'im Haya HaMukhuvan B'zeh L'Odiyah She'esh Matsui Rishonah Amtzi Kol HaNitzayim V'Kol HaNitzayim B'Shem Shemayim V'Aretz Ma'ash B'nehem Einam Nitzayim Rak Ma'mitasim Matzo. And if the point of all this is to teach the Bnei Yisrael that there's a Matsui Rishon, right? Matsui Rishon means a first entity, right? God who brought about everything else. And everything else that came is only because of God's Amitas Yimatso, the fact that God's existence. Imkein haya ru'ui lomar vidatem ki yesh Hashem. It should say that they have to learn that there is a God. Ki yesh Hashem. What does the pasuk say? Vidatem ki ani yesh. Ki milas yesh yorel matzius vein makom lemilas ani. If you want to tell them that there is a God, just say yesh. And what's this ani business? V'nir lamar ki ein milas ani shem nemadaber ba'ado ich. I love that, right? There's a word. Yesh, okay? Yeah. Not about me. I will lose shame. A love Yisbarach. It's a name.
Ani is a name?
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah. Uvmechilta Rabbi Shimon Yochai v'yisem kadoshim ki kadosh ani. Man ani do HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's ani? It's God. V'nir lomar atam v'zek milas ani hu shem if'al. It's one of God's names. It's a word of action. V'elohim ina liyado. What is ina? What does it mean? It's famous from the Gemara Makkos, right? That God caused something to happen. It's referring to a guy who's an accidental murderer who commits a murder by accident and needs to run to an Ir Mikla, to a city of refuge. To anasam yishivena, sheperish siba. Okay, the word ani is like ina, which means it's a reason. So he gives more examples. Remember, that's Ksav HaKabbal. He brings psukim from elsewhere in Tanakh to prove what the shorish that he's retranslating for us means. Sheperish Rashi alila. What's alila? A reason, an excuse, a pretense, right? When the people are complaining in Parshas Baha'aloscha, they have a pretense, they have a reason why they're complaining. Because God is the reason for everything, see, he's called B'Shem Ani. With the name of Ani, what's Lomar Baal Amasiba? He's the reason for everything. V'tanvi datem ki Ani Hashem. You have to know that Ani is Hashem. It's the same entity. Teidu ki Baal Amasiba, that the one who is the reason for everything, he is the Adon HaKol. Skip the parentheses. V'hu hefech das mishtab shimle mor. And this is where he gets into all Ksav HaKabbalah, where he says, and this is the opposite of all the people, the ones who are trying to figure out. If God is the creator of everything, he's not going to go, like, what does he need to brag about this stuff? He doesn't need to lift himself up. So people look at this and say, oh, they're going to know, ah, me, ich, I'm God, ah, me. No, Ani is the name of God. They're going to know, ki Ani and Hashem is the same. And who is Ani? I'm the cause of everything. It's not I'm the cause, but the cause of everything is
your God.
The Adon HaKol. Wow, skip to the period. Hinei lahoros al hafech amar ki ba'al ha-masiba hu Adon HaKol, hu Adon amiti tamid al kol ma'asei adav. He's the one who is the reason of everything, is the master of everything. He's the master, the true master over everything that's going on in his world. Hu ashalit tamid al kovruav. He is watching over. He is the ruler over all of his creations. The kocha gadol yanigeim yikaimem tamid, and it's his strength which is going to guide and establish forever. Ubritzono pashut yuchal shanos todos ativim chukei nevriim, and with his own desire he can change the laws of nature. Ki ani Hashem Elokecha v'azinu ki ani anihu. I am ani. That's what I am. Okay, and he goes on in this vein. I think I didn't give you the rest of it. Oh no, that is the end of it. Okay, so that's just to me. That's also in the category.
I like the idea that you're saying ani is
I think for the people, it makes it more personal to say there is a God or I am the God. I think that's what was needed for them to relate
right.
to something that was not just abstract, but they think could be more personal.
Yes, but what I find so incredibly beautiful about this viewpoint that says that Ani is a shame Hashem is it takes out the ego problem that our God seems to have. Because every single time something happens, he seems to take offense. No, but try me to know, I am God, I am God. And when you read it that way, it sounds awful. But when you say Ani is the one who causes everything to happen, and that's just another name of God. It's a right. Then it changes everything, because it removes this idea that God is power hungry and egotistical and maniacal and in a sense evil. It's not about they need to know who I am. It's they need to understand what they are going to learn is what my essence is, and it's not about my essence. It's they're going to understand the essence of the Borei Olam, and that is no longer egotistical. That is base emuna, and that is a fundamentally different idea of how we understand what God is. When you remove that presumed ego, which he says just simply doesn't exist. I want to conclude with one final beautiful message, and this is on the word morasha. Okay, so at the end of this pasuk Ches, God says, I'm going to bring you to the land. Morasha, ani Hashem. So what is a morasha? So there's a difference between morasha and yirusha. What is morasha? It's a heritage. What's a yirusha? An inheritance. So take a look what he says. It's a beautiful place to end. V'lo amar yirusha. And God does not say that it's an inheritance. Lirmos. To hint us, in other words, yes, he is giving a little bit of a premonition here, that guess what? It might not be you guys. Shaloha yu yorshimos, yelo yu yorshimos, that they may maybe might not be inheriting. Levisha asidin o yotz mitzrayim lemuzma midbar. Those who leave Egypt, they're going to die. Aval yu morishimos alubneim, but they will give it as a heritage. Asher yiknesu la'aretz, l'chein amar morosha, the children are going to be entering the land. That's why it says Morasha. V'chein, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha, Lomar Yerusha. Ki b'zeh, that what? Why is Torah defined as a Morasha? Ki b'zeh yeh mashmoto, sh'atorah lo tiyeh Yerusha, kiyim lo'os ha'ador sh'kiblu b'vad. If you say it's Yerusha, then people say, my parents had it. It's for them, done, end. V'chein amar Morasha. It's a heritage. It's something you have to carry with you forever, because it's not just given to one generation, it's given to all generations. Sheyarishua libneim, that they have to give it over as a heritage to their children after them. Begam dorosa atidim, and in the future generations as well. Chayavim heim b'kiyum haTorah kosin shekibluha. They're also obligated in the affirmation of the Torah and fulfillment of the Torah, like those who gave it. I hope that this class tonight gives us a new appreciation for what God is, what God did for our people, what God did for us, Ad Hayom Hazeh, between the Morasha of the Aretz, the Morasha of the Torah, and of course that Ki Ani Hashem does not speak of an egotistical and a maniacal God, but of a God who is Adon HaKol, and who just wants the world to know who is the Adon HaKol. Go ahead.